could be better. We feel like things are going well. Every single day of our lives, God always makes our cup to run over. We abound with blessings from God day in and day out. We ought to be grateful for that. I think of a lot of blessings this morning, one being the fact that God has allowed us to be able to be here on this Lord's Day to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's a blessing. It's a privilege. And one that we ought not take for granted, but to be thankful for it. And I'm thankful for the presence of each and every one of you. Not only the members here, but we have visitors with us. And we want you to know that we appreciate the fact that you're here. You could have been elsewhere. You could have been doing other things. And you decided to be among us this morning. We appreciate that very much. You're our honored guest. We hope that we've made you feel welcome. And that you'll come back as time and opportunity permit you to do that. I appreciate again, Brother Greg, for filling in for my Bible class last Wednesday evening as I was away in the meeting. I appreciate him doing that. And before I forget to fail to mention, I'll be in a meeting next Sunday. And so I know several of the men are going to be gone on work-related and vacation. But if one of you are going to be present and would like to fill in for that Bible class, Bellis, I appreciate that. Bellis volunteered to do that. It's encouraging. I appreciate you doing that, Bellis. So Bellis will be your Bible study teacher next Wednesday, Lord willing. So I appreciate the fact that he's going to do that and that you're here this morning. I encourage you to take your Bibles out and follow along with me and make sure that what I'm saying is in harmony with the Word of God. We stand on nothing but the Word of God. That ought to be the case. I trust that it is. That you expect that what I'm going to tell you this morning is right, that it's true, that I'm able to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I'm going to say. You came, I hope, to hear nothing but the Word of God preached. I suppose I could stand here and take the next little while telling you a bunch of stories, maybe telling some jokes, and you might leave here feeling all good and saying, well, I laughed a lot this morning. But folks, if I do that and don't teach you the truth as revealed in the Bible and tell you all the stories that I might like to tell you and not teach you the Bible, then it was a complete waste of my time and your time too, because that won't take you to heaven. The preaching of the gospel is what we need to be focused on. I hope you appreciate that and expect nothing but what the Scriptures say. I put a very simple title on the list on the board this morning. You get to. And I'm going to give you some points to go along with that. There's some outlines of the sermon in the back. If you'd like to have one, you feel free to pick one up on your way out. But we're going to talk about some things as Christians that we get to do. We live in a time where folks say many times, I don't want to become a Christian because, well, you folks don't get to do anything. Have you heard that before? It's no fun to be a Christian. You don't get to do anything. I want to do fun things. Well, by fun things, do you mean things that appeal to the flesh, that war against the soul, of which Peter said in 1 Peter 2:11 that we are to abstain from? Fleshly lusts and things that war against the soul. Is that what you mean by fun? Often that's the way the world uses it. I want to do things that make me feel good. You got to be careful about things which make you feel good and that are fun, because those may very well be the things that take you away from the Lord and will cause you to be lost in the end. We've got to be interested in spiritual things. Are you interested in spiritual things? Am I? We've got to answer that for ourselves. You know, many times you may tell a child to do something, or they may say, I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. And then you may say, well, I'll give you plenty of things to do. You might want to take out the garbage. You might want to pick up your room. You might want to go out and mow the grass or cut the weeds or pick up the yard. Well, I don't mean like that, because often they're talking about fun things. But I assure you that as a Christian, there are plenty of things that you get to do. And as we look at these things, we're duty-bound to do them. God's Word instructs us to do them. But it is a privilege to be able to serve God. By the way, do you look at it as only something that it is your duty or that it's a privilege to be able to do, or both? I suggest to you that we are duty-bound, but it's a privilege to serve the very being that created us, the God of heaven. And I hope that you'll look at these things from that standpoint. Brayden did a very good job, as he always does, in reading the Scripture, reading from Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do His commandments that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city. So I want to share with you some very simple things that you may already know. But you may look at them as a very sense of dread. Well, I have to do. You know, I appreciate my wife for getting the kids up. And many times she'll say, we get to go to service today. Not, well, you have to go today. We get to go. So I want to talk about some things that you get to do as a Christian. Number one, as a child of God, you are privileged and you get to attend every service of the church. Are you aware of that? Now, how many times do we look at it and say, there they go, talking about attendance again. There they go, saying, well, I have to be there every time the door is open. No, we get to be here. Do you know what a blessing it is for me to be able to be among those of like precious faith this morning? I enjoy that. I need that. It's a blessing. And not only that, but to be able to come together to worship God. And so as a Christian, you get to come to every service of the church in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And in verse 24, we put a lot of emphasis many times on verse 25. But notice what comes before that. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Do you consider each other? Do we consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works? And then he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so on this Lord's Day, you know what you get to do as a Christian? You get to come and worship God. You know, I've been told by individuals along the way, well, you know, the being a Christian is all about liberty and no restraint. Well, you know, Jesus came that we might be set free from our sin, at John chapter 8, verse 32. But I want to caution you that we do have restraint. God does expect us to put off some things and to put on some things, to flee some things and to follow some things. So don't ever forget about that. You know, the New Testament, the gospel of Christ is referred to as a perfect law. You know what law implies, don't you? Some rules, regulations, some do's and don'ts. The perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1, verse 25. In James 2:12, he says, speak, so speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged according to the perfect law. In Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He came that we might be set free from our sin. The law of Moses being nailed to the cross. Colossians chapter 2 and then verse 14 talks about, and we serve Him under the perfect law of liberty. And we get to worship God and come to every service of the church. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, the Lord's church has been doing that since its establishment in Acts chapter 2. Upon the first day of each and every week, just like we did a moment ago, by partaking of unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, to show the Lord's death till He come. You know how long we'll continue to do that? Till He come. And so if you're visiting with us this morning, you come back next week, guess what? We're going to do the same thing again next week. And so we're privileged to be able to attend every service of the church. And so when someone says, well, I don't want to be a Christian, you folks don't get to do anything. You might want to point out to them, oh, yes, we do. We get to go to every service of the church. But there's a lot of others I want to share with you. And that is the fact that we get to love other people. You say, well, preacher, you have to do that. Well, you're right, we are duty-bound, but it's a privilege, it's an honor to be able to do what God would have us to do. Don't you think so? You believe the Bible teaches it's a privilege to be able to do that? It's an honor to do that? In the book of Matthew chapter 5, the love that we have extends and flows from within the body of Christ and out of the body of Christ, to those who are Christians and to those who are not Christians. Not only to those who treat us well and like us and say good things about us and make us feel good about ourselves, but we love other people as well. Everybody. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 43, Jesus said, you have heard that it is said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Well, think about yourself. Do you love your neighbor and you despise and hate your enemy? Jesus said, you've heard that it's been said that. Well, Lord, what would you have us to do? He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That means you have love for everybody, not only those that are kind to you, maybe your neighbor, maybe neighborly, but also to your enemies. Now here's the reason. It gives the reason in the next verse. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know, I look out and I see the beautiful sunshine this morning. And up and down this street and all through this town, there are people who are saved and people who are not. People who are Christians and people who are not. But you know, I notice that the sun's not just shining on my house and skipping my neighbor's house. And when it rained earlier last week, or late in the week, I guess it was Friday or Saturday, I noticed that my house wasn't the only one wet. It was yours. For God sendeth the sun to shine on the good and the bad, and sends His rain on the just and the unjust. And as God's physical blessings abound upon all, and we're to love as He loves our enemies and others as well. And so as a child of God, you know what you get to do? You get to love other people. Long ago, in a class that I was taking, an instructor made this point. You take it for what it's worth. A lot of value in it. That the most two basic needs of humans is to love and to be loved. And when one of those are absent, chaos ensues. Think of that. I worked among families and homes where love was not exhibited either way, or maybe just one-sided. But we as Christians get to love all mankind. You know how many people God loved? Everybody. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Herein God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3, and then verse 1. And so I don't care where you come from, what you look like, who your parents are, who they weren't. Everyone stands on level ground at the foot of the cross. And we need to appreciate that. And love as God loves. But also, when you think about what you get to do as a Christian, what I get to do as a Christian, we get to do good unto other people. When's the last time that I'll have to answer for myself, did good for someone else? And there's a lot of different ways you can do good for someone. When's the last time you did that? We need to be busy about doing that. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 10, an individual responsibility that we have. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So as a child of God, as a Christian, you get to do good to people. Find ways, by the way, that you can do something good for someone else. If you ever have a pity party, if you ever sulk about how life's not fair, you know what? You know what's good medicine for that? Get up and do something for somebody else. That'll help us quit feeling sorry for self. As we take our eyes off self and look to the needs of others. Philippians chapter 2 talks about verses 1 through 5. Let every man esteem the needs of others better than himself. Look on the things of others, not on the things of self. And he talks about in verse 5 how this mind was first in Christ. In Acts 10 and in verse 38, it was stated concerning Christ that He went about doing what? Doing good. We need to be busy about doing good. Well, preacher, I don't have time to do that. Well, I'm probably just as busy as you are. But we all have 24 hours in each day. But we've got to be careful what we busy ourselves doing, don't we? Let's think about the privilege and honor it is that we get to do good unto others. I think about a statement made over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and then verse 17 as we think about what we get to do as a Christian. Other people say, well, you don't get to do anything. I'm sharing things with you we get to do. Well, I sure wish I had some things to do, someone says. Well, take some notes, pick an outline up, make you a checklist. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and then verse 17, pray without ceasing. Well, that doesn't mean just kind of hedge yourself around or kind of go somewhere and find some acreage and build a wall and just maybe build you a monastery and cut yourself off from the whole world. That's not what he's talking about. We've got responsibilities, not only to pray, but other responsibilities, familial responsibilities, work responsibilities, church work, and so forth. Pray without ceasing. That means be given to prayer, be a person of prayer. The Lord was a person of prayer. Think about the many times that He prayed. I went to a mountain, He would pray, bless the food, lift His eyes up to heaven, and pray. You know, can you pray anywhere? Is there anywhere you cannot pray? Any situation you find yourself in, you can pray. Someone has once said it doesn't matter about the posture of the body, it's the condition of the heart. We understand that it's a privilege of God's people to be able to pray. In Philippians 4 and 10 verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with thanksgiving and prayer, let your supplication be made known unto God. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 12. Now we know, John 9:31, that God heareth not the words of sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Him and doeth His will, him he heareth. And in the book of Proverbs 28 verse 9, that whosoever turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even this man's prayer shall be abomination unto God. And so it is a privilege and a duty to be able to go to God as our Father in prayer. But as you think about some things you get to do as a Christian, I want to mention something to you that I hope you never take for granted and that you appreciate and that you are engaged in and that you do well on a continual basis. And that is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As a Christian, you know what you get to do? You get to spend time with the book of books, with an inspired volume, that which cannot be said about any other writing in the whole world that ever has been or ever will be. You get to spend time studying the very Word of God, your Bible. How well do you know it? How well do I know it? Do we spend time studying it? We're privileged to be able to do that. Do we know what it teaches? Do we know how to use it so as to teach others that they might hear the gospel, believe it, and obey it, and go to heaven when life is over? Do we desire it? 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, 18. Let me ask you something. The Bible says a lot about being blessed, doesn't it? It's a word that is akin to happy and joy and rejoicing. Do you want to be blessed? Well, perhaps we all do. If you want to be blessed, I want to share with you a divine recipe for being blessed. Come with me to Psalm 1. I know this will cause you to be blessed because God says you'll be blessed. And folks, I believe God every day of the week and twice on Sunday and more. We believe Him all the time, don't we? Now notice what He said. In Psalm 1, one of my favorites. Blessed is the man. Now that's who He's talking about. And He's going to contrast the blessed man with the ungodly in this first Psalm. Now notice what He says. And the sermon will be yours. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now what's this? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I'll tell you today that people all across this land throughout the world meditate in things of which they ought not meditate in. We need to spend our time meditating upon the Scriptures if you want to be blessed. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be. Now see if you want to be like this. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit, his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to be like that? You want to be like an individual? And it can be said that whatsoever you do shall prosper. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his own season, his leaf shall not wither. You want to be like that? Then meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. He says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want to be blessed, do you? Then we need to spend time studying the Scriptures. God's Word will make us wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, then verse 15, as Paul was writing to Timothy, encouraging, admonishing, instructing him into the work of an evangelist. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto every good work. So when someone says, be a Christian, why would I want to do that? You don't get to do anything. You've got some things to share with them. I've given you five things this morning that you get to do as a Christian. Lord willing, tonight I'll give you five more. And so you'll want to be sure to come back and get the rest of these so that you can know that you have plenty to do and others can have things to do that they might go to heaven when life is over. Should you be in this audience this morning having never obeyed the gospel? Maybe you're among us and you may say, preacher, I'm not a Christian, but I want to become a Christian. How do I do that? Well, you've got to do what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. It's never changed. How did they become a Christian in the Bible? Well, it first began by them hearing the truth. So in faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. Do you believe that? Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, you'll perish. Repenting of your sins, a change of heart, mind, that results in a change of life. We'll perish if we don't, the Lord said. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Turn from the world of sin and do what is right. By confessing your faith in Christ, that you believe that He is the Son of God. We've got a perfect example of that in Acts 8:37. When the eunuch said, see, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Remember what he said? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. And by being baptized for the remission of your sins. Someone says, preacher, I don't believe you have to do that. Well, Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. See how simple that is? When you do that, God will forgive you of all of your sins. You'll be raised to walk in newness of life, having been added to the church by the Lord. Acts 2 and then verse 47. Maybe you hear this morning, you have done that. Used to be steadfast, but Along life's way, you pulled up your anchor of steadfastness and drifted from the Lord. You're not faithful. You turned your back on Him and went back out into the world of sin. Like the prodigal son, you've come to yourself. And you realize, I need to go home to the Father. God assures us if we'll repent of our unfaithfulness and make confession to Him in prayer, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. 1 John 1 and in verse 9. Folks, there's danger in delay. Today's the only day you have. Yesterday was gone. Tomorrow may never be. It's not worth dying on the outside of Christ. Don't delay. Come right now.